On a day that was dominated by headlines about 57-year-old Stone Cold Steve Austin possibly being lured back for a WrestleMania match, and Cody and Brandi Rhodes, Cody Rhodes, one of the founding fathers of All Elite Wrestling, leaving AEW, say it ain't so. But despite all of that, tonight we talk about the developmental show, because tonight was a special edition of NXT, a special Vengeance Day episode of NXT 2.0 here for February 15th, 2022, the day after Valentine's Day. But since they had the Valentine's branding, we have the hearts. Very Valentine's-esque edition of the stream here tonight. Hope you all had a good Valentine's Day. I am the Solemn Monster. Tonight's show is headlined by an NXT Championship defense, the very first NXT title defense of one Bron Breakker, putting the belt on the line against Santos Escobar, getting his first crack at the NXT Championship. Took long enough. This guy's been one of the more underrated talents in this company, not just the brand, the entire company, for months. So this was a big spot for him tonight. The North American Championship on the line, Carmelo Hayes defending against Cameron Grimes. I expected that to be very good, and those two guys went out there and delivered tonight. In fact, I think they delivered the best match on the entire show. The match that I was looking forward to the most was the finals of the Men's Dusty Cup, the Creed Brothers taking on MSK, last year's winners. That match, also good, but disappointing. Disappointing. And we'll talk about why that was. So we're going to get into the entire card here tonight. Dolph Ziggler was in the house. Oh boy, you know it's a really fun night when Dolph Ziggler shows up on the show. Super chats are open. I will be reading your messages a little bit later on in the stream. And yes, for those who have been asked the other night on the stream, I did finish the female edition of Be the Booker. You guys enjoy the Be the Booker segment at the end of these streams. We have a brand new men's Be the Booker, lots of new options in there. I debuted it the other night on the stream. The women's one wasn't quite ready yet, but tonight it is. And so we'll pick one men's match and one women's match a little bit later on. So we are going to do all of that stuff. Do me a favor right now. Smash that like button if you would do so. I would appreciate that. And thank you, by the way, to Low-Key Lean in the chat for reminding me about the like button. Do subscribe as well to the channel. Something else happened today. Despite all of the news and the show tonight, Vengeance Day, there was some other NXT-related news, kind of. After 267 episodes, 205 Live was pronounced dead by WWE. No official announcement was made, but 205 Live is gone. 205 Live is no more. I mean, the show was already on life support. The company just decided to pull the plug finally. Let's be honest, that show's been on life support probably for the better part of a year, at least. 205 Live is no more. In its place is a brand new show called NXT Level Up. Isn't there an indie promotion called Level Up Wrestling? Well, now there's another NXT show called Level Up. 205 Live was powered down. NXT now is leveling up in its place. Effectively, it's just a name change. I mean, I assume a lot of the talent featured on the show is going to be some of the lesser-known NXT talent, which is who they were featuring on 205 Live recently anyway. But, I mean, 205 Live, it was rendered useless a long time ago. I've talked about this already on the podcast. You know, when they started getting away from the 205-pound weight limit, that was number one. That was sign number one. I mean, they were having Cruiserweight Championship matches on 205 Live with Roderick Strong defending against fucking Odyssey Jones, who's, what is he, 330? I mean, it was ridiculous. And then, it wasn't very long ago that Carmelo Hayes unified the North American title and the Cruiserweight title, and the Cruiserweight title went bye-bye. So there was no need for 205 Live. The name was stupid, it made no sense, it was only a matter of when. And that when is now. So 205 Live, may it rest in peace. 205 Live is 205 dead. We opened with a weaponized steel cage match between Pete Dunne and Tony D'Angelo. The stipulation was pinfall or submission only. So there would be no climbing out of the cage or anything like that, pin or submission only. D'Angelo rolled up to the building in a Maybach, which is a very expensive automobile. We actually had somebody in the neighborhood here. I mean, this is hardly a rich neighborhood, but there's a neighborhood or two over. And it's waterfront property back there. So it's always fun. You kind of drive back there and you see how the other side lives. And there was this one house, and always parked in the driveway, you know, like a gated driveway, was this Maybach. And I would just stand there and look at it and go, if I had a Maybach, I wouldn't be parking it in this driveway. I would have this thing under lock and key somewhere. But he pulls up in a Maybach. Vic Joseph implied that perhaps this was a stolen vehicle or a lifted vehicle. So we've got people stealing credit cards and now cars on this show. You know, we had two cops on the show tonight in a segment. Maybe they should have looked into that. Dunn went after D'Angelo's fingers early in the match. I mean, that's kind of what he does. Slammed D'Angelo's hands into a toolbox that was inside the cage, and then he wrapped them inside of a wrench. And he stomped on the fingers. And Dunn tried to escape the cage, which, again, it's pinfall or submission only, we were told. D'Angelo blasted him, though, with a shot from the fire extinguisher. And blinded him. And then he climbed up the side of the cage, and from the top rope, he superplexed him down to the mat. So after that, he grabbed a pair of zip ties, did Tony D'Angelo, and he basically handcuffed Pete Dunn. Only he handcuffed him instead of handcuffs, he used zip ties. And he cuffed his hands behind his back, started beating him down. Dunn fought back, he used his legs. Very resourceful. Locked on a head scissors, got him in a triangle choke, and D'Angelo grabbed a pair of pliers out of the toolbox so he can cut Dunn's hands loose, just so he can release the hold. So he actually cut him out of the zip ties. Dunn hit a running powerbomb, he had picked up D'Angelo. You know, so picture a buckle bomb, basically, and ran and threw him right through a table that was propped up in the corner. So D'Angelo crashed through the table, and we had Pete Dunne grabbing a cricket bat at that point. Now, we've seen these two guys. That's why I said having a weaponized cage match for these two actually made quite a bit of sense, because we've seen cricket bats, we've seen crowbars. I mean, fuck, they had a crowbar and a pole match a few weeks ago on TV. So it made sense that they would have weapons involved in this match. So Pete Dunne went back to using the cricket bat, and he broke it across D'Angelo's back, hit the bitter end, had me convinced. I thought that was the end, but I thought that was the bitter end. Aha. But instead, he kicked out at 2.5. And when Pete Dunne came charging in at him with a crowbar, D'Angelo caught him with a low blow. Tony hit his twisting fisherman buster finish, but this time it was Pete Dunne who kicked out. So at this point, both men had kicked out of each other's finish. Dunne grabbed a second crowbar, which Tony D'Angelo did not see. He had the other crowbar in his hand. Well, Pete Dunne grabbed another one. And Dunne hit D'Angelo in the midsection with it. Whacked him in the back of the head with the crowbar and hit a second bitter end. This time, D'Angelo landed on all the table debris that was in the corner, and Pete Dunne got the pin. So, Pete Dunne gets his revenge in this match. This feud's been going on now for several weeks on TV. Remember a few weeks ago, D'Angelo stole his mouth guard, and he put it in a little glass or plastic case, whatever it was. So, Dunne gets his revenge. It was a good match. Shorter than I expected. They went under 10 minutes. I thought Pete Dunne losing could be a sign of him being called up soon, but that didn't happen. Pete Dunne gets the win, and Tony D'Angelo becomes one of the very few people. I'm sure it's happened before, but he becomes one of the very few people to kick out of the bitter end. And everything that I have seen from Tony D'Angelo so far, you know, a lot of people talk about Bron Breakker, and they talk about Carmelo Hayes or the Creed brothers. I mean, there's a lot of real kind of diamonds in the rough is the right way to even say it. A lot of really talented young guys they have down there. And they've been in developmental, even it predates even the 2.0 relaunch. But Tony D'Angelo should be in that conversation as well. Because from the moment he debuted, he's looked good. He never looked out of place. You know, I know he has an amateur wrestling background. I think that works to his advantage. But he's got to be in that conversation too. If you're going to make a top five of great young talent that could be something on the main roster, I think Tony D'Angelo makes the top five. Now, where he ranks, I don't know. I wouldn't have him at number one. But I think he should definitely be on the list. Now, this felt like a blow-off. Of course, I say that, and they may end up back in the ring in 2 weeks. But this felt like a blow-off to their feud. We had a video package that aired with Cora Jade being awoken at 5 o'clock in the morning by a phone call from Raquel Gonzalez. She was doing everything she could for weeks to convince Raquel to be her partner in the Women's Dusty Cup, which kicks off next week, by the way. We now know when the Women's Classic is going to be kicking off. And so finally, Raquel relented. They had a match. Raquel won. And Raquel liked her moxie, I guess, and said, okay, I'll be your partner in the tournament. So now she's calling her, waking her up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And this turned into a training montage, basically. They went to a park somewhere. They were in the gym. They were training. And she told her, we're going to be doing this every single day. So they're getting ready for the Dusty Cup. So, I mean, we know Cora and Raquel are in. We know that. We know that Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray are going to be a team. So they're in the tournament as well. And they had a segment here where Wendy Chu was in the back with Amari Miller. And I believe she had taken Amari on her shopping spree last week when she stole Tiffany Stratton's credit card. You know, the felony that she committed for which Tiffany could have had her arrested but didn't. And anyway, Amari couldn't be her partner. But Wendy said, oh, it's okay, it's fine. So as she's walking along, she looks over and she sees Dakota Kai is sitting there talking to herself. She's talking to somebody off camera, but nobody's actually there. So that's her whole gimmick now. She's crazy. She's lost her mind. You can understand that anybody who works in this company would at some point lose their mind. I mean, you look at what they've done with Dakota Kai. I would lose my mind, too, if I was withering away down there in NXT doing nothing. So this woman, they've broken her. We have broken Dakota. And she's talking to somebody who isn't there. Wendy's trying to say, hey, would you be my partner? I need a partner for the Dusty Cup. And she never agreed to it, but clearly that's the direction they're going in here. They have to come up with teams. They don't have enough teams. The same problem they have with the Women's Royal Rumble. They don't have enough people. Every year they do the Dusty Cup for the men and the women. So it's like, okay, it's Dusty Cup time. We have to do this, but we don't have enough teams. Royal Rumble, we do one every year. We don't have 30 women on the active roster. And they didn't even call up anybody from NXT to be in the Royal Rumble this year. They had to go out and find women from past eras to bring in. And women from other organizations to bring in. So clearly they're going to be a team. And we know maybe half the teams in the tournament. Who the other four are going to be, I have no idea. Speaking of women's teams, we had Toxic Attraction defending the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship against Indy Hartwell and Persia Parada. Gigi and JC Jane, they attacked Indy and Persia in the ring before their entrance was over. Toxic Attraction gained the upper hand after Mandy Rose distracted Indy Hartwell. After the referee caught Mandy Rose tossing Hartwell back into the ring, Mandy was ejected, thus making the referee the biggest heel on the entire show. Hartwell started her comeback as they came back from break. She got the hot tag to Parada. She gave Gigi and JC a double Samoan drop, which was very impressive. And with Hartwell and Gigi Dolan, they were legal in the match. JC and Parada, they ended up brawling on the outside. JC tossed Parada into the ring steps, which took her out of the match. So there was nobody there for Indy Hartwell to tag in when she needed to tag in her partner. And they grabbed Hartwell's leg as she was going for her springboard elbow. Toxic Attraction hit the high-low on Indy Hartwell and pinned her to retain their women's tag team titles. Happy to see Toxic Attraction retain. There was no reason to take the belts off them. They have a hot act going. Why spoil something that's working? Mandy has the NXT Women's Championship. Gigi and JC have the tag team titles. They haven't had them for that long. You got to let them have a little bit of a run with them before you take the titles off them. So it was the right outcome. And no reason to take the belts off them to put them on a team, you know, Indy and Persia. They've been teasing some tension behind the scenes between them. So they could be headed for a breakup soon. Why would you put the belts on them? Speaking of which, later on in the show, Persia was consoling Indy in the back after their loss. And Persia said, look, we can get another chance. We'll be in the Dusty. Oh, I guess they're going to be in the Dusty Classic, too. So there you go. So that makes about four or five teams that we know of now. So they're going to be in the Dusty Cup also. Don't worry, we'll be in the Dusty Cup. We'll get our shot. Everything will be okay. And in walks Dexter Loomis. And she sees, you know, Indy sees Dexter, her husband, and runs towards him. And Persia looks annoyed. She looks bothered by the fact that Dexter did not say hello to her. Now, of course, Dexter is a fucking mute. We've heard him speak exactly one time. That was at the wedding, whatever it was that he said. I don't remember. This guy doesn't speak. So I don't know what this woman is so upset about. She's all moody about the fact that he didn't say hello to her. So again, teasing some tension there. And Indy says, all right, I'm going to go off with Dexter, and they take their leave. As they leave, Duke Hudson shows up. And he grabs Persia Parada by the hand. She seems, you know, impressed by him and doesn't mind walking off with him. And on commentary, Wade Barrett says that Persia is about to get lucky tonight. Duke Hudson is the real winner tonight. We had another pre-tape. We had a few of these on the show tonight. This one was with the Millennial APA. So we had Brooks and Jensen. They're out at a bar somewhere. That's what I call them, Millennial APA. So Jensen has a thing for Caden Carter, right? You have Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter. Oh, there's another team. I'm filling up the women's tournament bracket in my head just as I go along here. But he has a thing in storyline for Caden Carter. And they're doing this storyline where he's all embarrassed. He wants to ask her out, but he doesn't know how. He's so awkward. He's like every wrestling fan, right? So he's sitting at the bar with his partner, and he's regaling him with stories of how the date went, because they went on a date. And his partner is waiting for him probably, you know, to tell the story about how, you know, we went back to her place. And he's like, no, you know, it was a very nice date. And when it was over, I took her home, and that was the end of it. And his partner is not very impressed by this. And, you know, he also said he let Caden pay for her own meal, which is something on a first date that you really shouldn't do. Little dating tip there. So his partner was not impressed by any of this at all. And they go to the bartender, who turned out to be, this woman is also, I guess, an NXT developmental talent. They recognize who she was. I didn't recognize who the hell she was. But I guess she's bartending in her spare time because, you know, NXT 2.0 doesn't exactly pay a lot of money here. So they go, we want a woman to give her perspective on this story. And so he tells the story all over again. So what do you think? How do you think this date went? And basically she confirms that, you know, he was friend-zoned. And he does the whole no, he shouts no like he's fucking Darth Vader here sitting at this bar. They have turned this, I can't even believe I'm sitting here reviewing this. They have turned this show into, or they're trying to turn this show into an episode of fucking Beverly Hills 90210. You may as well just call it Orlando. What's the zip code in Orlando? Somebody look it up for me. That's what they've turned this. They've turned the show into fucking Melrose Place, as if these references, I'm dating myself with these references. I don't know what the modern day version of these shows would be. I know for a while they're the OC on Fox, right? That was the big thing. The OC. Everybody was talking about the OC until they weren't. Fucking Melrose Place they're turning this show into. I don't give a shit about any of this stuff. They're trying to give these guys some personality. At least with these two, it ain't working. Somebody needs to get me the zip code for Orlando. We'll plug that in there. That'll be the new name of this show. Ridiculous. LA Knights. Oh, the bat. 328. Is that the zip code? 32837. Okay, Orlando. Orlando, 32837. They should just rename this show. There you go. Bliss fan wants to know, what is Triple H doing now? Triple H is convalescing. I saw Triple H apparently went to a Broadway show with his bride the other day. What did they see? They had it on their Twitter. Triple H is taking it easy. Triple H, all these people talking about Triple H coming back and having a WrestleMania match. I don't think you people understand how serious it was, this whole heart episode that he had many months ago. Triple H is not wrestling. Triple H is done. Triple H is finished. All I know is that when Triple H was booking this show, it wasn't no fucking Melrose Place. You had Skulls and you had Poppy. It wasn't perfect, but I'll take that over this. So LA Knight came out to the ring for the next segment. And before he could say anything, oh, Hamilton, that's what it was. They saw Hamilton, thank you. I've heard great things about Hamilton, actually. It's impossible to get tickets to Hamilton, unless, of course, you're in the McMahon family. Then you can get tickets to Hamilton. The one time I looked into getting tickets to Hamilton, there was like a year-long wait list. I'm like, fuck this. Nothing can possibly be that good to wait a year for it. Before LA Knight could say anything, Grayson Waller and his bodyguard Songa, right? Who was out in the parking lot before the segment started. When Waller arrived, he told Songa actually to stay put. They were waiting for the cops. Remember, his plan was he was going to have the cops arrest LA Knight for violating the order of protection that he had taken out on him. So Waller interrupts LA Knight, and he's got his police. He's got his police officers with him, who look very indie-rific. Two police officers with him. And Waller ordered them to arrest LA Knight. And LA Knight had some footage that he wanted to show these cops of Waller, that is. As I say Knight, Waller. Because they both ended up showing footage. They both had footage. They came very prepared here on this show. Waller was the first one. He showed footage of what happened a few weeks ago. LA Knight attacked him after Waller's match with AJ Styles. Waller said, you know, ever since I've had anxiety as a result, you know, this man, what has he done to me? Knight took Waller's envelope. He had an envelope with him. And Knight said, even though I have the right to remain silent, I also have the right to defend myself. He said he knew that Waller would bring some of his own evidence, and so he had some evidence of his own against Grayson Waller. And he pointed out, after showing footage of what Waller did, was it last week, I guess, or 2 weeks ago, when he did his little rolling stunner to him on the floor. So Knight pointed out in the paperwork, the order of protection, it was on page two, I think it was. He pointed out language in there that Grayson Waller cannot touch him. Just as much as he can't touch Grayson Waller. It goes both ways. And Grayson Waller was unaware of this. He's looking at the cops. He's claiming, well, in Australia, it's only one way. He can't touch me, but it doesn't say anything about me not being able to touch him. Isn't that the way it works here in America? No, it ain't. So he's claiming ignorance on this. And the cops at that point walked away because they realized this was bullshit. So they walked away and they left him high and dry. Shout out to Alto Johnson, dropping a super chat. I'll get to your message here in a little bit. And so now Grayson Waller is fucked. He's on his own. The cops have left. He turns around. LA Knight takes him down with a clothesline. He starts stomping a mud hole in him in the corner. And with each stomp, the camera guy was ordered to take the camera and bob up and down. So with every stomp, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Can you imagine if Stone Cold Steve Austin does come back and wrestle, and I don't believe he is, but if he were to come back and wrestle, he doesn't even have to wrestle a match. You know, Austin will be at WrestleMania this year. He was always going to be at WrestleMania this year. WrestleMania is in Texas. The first advertisements months ago for WrestleMania this year had Stone Cold Steve Austin in them as the narrator. So you knew he was always going to be at Texas Stadium. Not even in a match, necessarily. He'll kick someone's ass, probably Kevin Owens. He'll probably stomp a mud hole in him. Now, when he does that, you're going to see the cameraman bobbing up and down, up and down. Even this camera crew, WWE production today would make Stone Cold Steve Austin 25 years ago nauseating to watch on television. Can you imagine if this current camera crew, the way they shoot television now, shot television back then in the Attitude Era? What they would do with how insanely just unwashable they would make most of those segments with Austin and other people and the camera bobbing all over the fucking place. Thank God we didn't have that back then. I didn't realize how good we had it at the time. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Hope these people never shoot a sex scene on this show, but hey, it's fucking 90210. They might. We might be getting a sex scene soon. If old Jensen over there ever gets Caden to come back to his place. Put the cameraman in the corner. I can only imagine. I can only imagine what that would look like. Ugh. Anyway. LA Knight knocked Tsonga off the ring apron. He tossed Grayson Waller out. Tsonga caught him and stood him up. And Knight said next week he and Grayson Waller are going to have a match. So they're going to go one-on-one next Tuesday. The segment went exactly as I predicted it. Well, I mean, it was pretty predictable, but it went exactly the way I predicted it would on the podcast this weekend. You know, when Waller put his hands on LA Knight last week, he violated his own order of protection. He basically just vacated his own order. And that was going to be the big twist on the show tonight, and that's exactly what happened. The bigger takeaway, when this segment was over, and really, you know, from the moment that LA Knight came out, but you watch him throughout this entire segment and just his presence on the show is just so far in a way, it just feels bigger than anybody else on this entire show. This guy was ready to be called up to the main roster really from the day that he came to NXT. But months ago, he was ready for this. I watch this guy now and I look at him and I think one thing, LA Knight needs to be on Raw or SmackDown that week after WrestleMania. If he doesn't get called up the week after, because we're in WrestleMania season, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to call people up now. I mean, that's what they did with Malakai Black and Ricochet, right? Aleister Black and Ricochet. They called them up, I think it was like a month or a month and a half before WrestleMania a few years ago. And that was like, it didn't really make any sense. You're going into WrestleMania season. That's not usually when you call somebody new up. You may have people coming back, you know, from injury. But it never really made a whole lot of sense to call people up before Mania. That's why we used to have people debuting on the Raw after WrestleMania. That's part of what made the Raw after WrestleMania so much fun. The Raw after WrestleMania now sucks because they don't do anything. But I was at a lot of those Monday Night Raw shows after WrestleMania when they used to do stuff. And some of my most fun memories of going to those WrestleMania weekends weren't even from WrestleMania. They were from Raw the next night. In fact, one of the guys that was on the show tonight is part of those moments. Dolph Ziggler's cash-in, his Money in the Bank cash-in, was the night after WrestleMania 29. One of the most insane moments I've ever been a part of live. You literally could feel the building shaking. You could feel the Izod Center in New Jersey shake. We used to get a lot of those moments. But they would wait until WrestleMania was over because WrestleMania was the culmination of a lot of the main roster stories. So you wait until those stories have paid off and then you debut somebody new. If LA Knight is not on Raw or SmackDown that week after WrestleMania, then these people are fucking morons. Because this guy checks every single box that you could possibly check. He can work. His work is fine. He doesn't do anything too flashy, but he doesn't have to. You know, The Rock didn't have to do anything too flashy. Steve Austin, the two guys he models himself after, they didn't do anything flashy, but they could work. But he's got charisma. He's got a certain presence, his promos, the way he carries himself. He could be a babyface. He could be a heel. That's why he reminds me a lot of The Rock. And Stone Cold, it's obvious that a lot of his mannerisms are patterned after Steve Austin, even the way he talks. I've said that from the moment I saw him, even back when he was in Impact, when he was in the NWA, Eli Drake. I said it back then. I'll say it now. I mean, this guy, you can tell exactly who he patterned himself after. But I think there's a lot of comparisons to be made between him and The Rock, because The Rock was kind of the same way. The Rock could work, not a flashy guy. But man, on promos, there were few people better than The Rock. But The Rock could be a babyface, and he was an over babyface. But he could also be a heel. And I feel the same way about LA Knight. And at a time when they can really use some more depth on both of those rosters, you have a guy that you can plug into either role, whatever you need him for. You need a baby face, put him here. You need a heel, put him there. I'd probably have him on SmackDown. But this man has outgrown NXT, and it's been that way for a while. So hopefully that's where he'll end up in the next couple of months. Tommaso Ciampa cut a backstage promo about people thinking that they're better than him because his accomplishments occurred in what they consider to be basically a farm league, a farm system. And he said Dolph Ziggler thinks he's better than him, but he shouldn't mistake his loyalty for weakness, and he, you know, kind of knocked the chair away that he was sitting in and walked off camera. Ciampa was on Raw this week. He was on Raw last night doing commentary for Dolph Ziggler's match. Not the first time that he's been on Monday Night Raw, but the first time in a very long time. Ciampa's another one who I could see being called up soon. He and Pete Dunne have had a lot of dark matches. They've had matches on Main Event. Right now, it doesn't look like Pete Dunne is destined to be called up, but Tommaso Ciampa might be. Again, sometime after WrestleMania, we could very well see him on Raw or SmackDown. We have Carmelo Hayes against Cameron Grimes for the North American Championship. This is one of the matches that I was looking forward to here on this show. Grimes got distracted by Trick Williams on the outside. This allowed Hayes to hit a springboard leg drop on Grimes as he was draped in the ropes that was heading into the picture-in-picture. After the break, Williams tried to distract Grimes again, but as Carmelo went to attack from behind, Grimes sidestepped him, gave him a poison rana. And Grimes gave Trick Williams a PK. He delivered a flying crossbody for a two count. This is where the match started to really kick into that next gear. Grimes called for his cave-in finish. Hayes, though, rolled out of the ring to avoid it. And so Grimes went out to the apron. He's going to go out after him. And he went to deliver the cave-in to him from the apron. But Trick Williams pushed his guy out of the way. He took the move instead. And Hayes came up from behind Grimes, shoved him into the barricade head first. So Melo is kneeling down at the desk where his North American Championship is sitting. And I thought he was grabbing the belt to use it as a weapon. But he just grabbed it, he looked at it, and he's talking to the belt. So it's bad enough we have people in the back who were talking to imaginary people. I mean, we have people on Monday Night Raw who were talking to imaginary friends and fucking plush dolls. I think WWE needs to beef up its mental health program in this company. They call it a wellness program. I certainly hope there's a mental health component to it, because we have people talking to dolls. We have people talking to air. We have people talking to belts. Carmelo looked at the belt and he goes, "I'm not leaving you. I'm never leaving you." Back in the ring, he hit Grimes with a La Mystica, locked him in the crossface. Trick Williams grabbed the bottom rope and was pulling back on it so that Grimes couldn't get the rope break. Grimes countered that, though. He rolled over into a pin attempt for a two count, and Hayes whiplashed Grimes' neck off the ropes and went up top, hit the diving scissors kick to the back of the neck for the win. This was an excellent match. Carmelo Hayes, still North American champion. No real surprise there as far as the outcome, but this was an excellent match between two of the very best on the roster. I've been a fan of Cameron Grimes for a while, right? You guys, well, used to be a running joke here on a lot of these streams, right? Cameron Grimes, right? To the moon. The whole million-dollar storyline with Ted DiBiase coming in and, you know, LA Knight and everything. And so Cameron Grimes is one of my favorites from NXT. And if you've listened to any of my shows, you know how high I am on Carmelo Hayes. I mean, this guy's the star of the future. He is one of the stars of the future. Not just in NXT, but I think in the entire company. And him and Trick Williams being put together, I mean, it's they've gelled together very well. They work. They're an entertaining combo. They work very well together. They play off each other very well. But this guy's got the talent. He's got the charisma to back it up. All the Trick Williams interference in his matches is getting very old, I will say. What I would do is I would book a rematch between these two. I'm hoping this is not the only time these two will meet. And certainly, I think with all the interference, Grimes would have a gripe if, you know, he went to management and said, "Hey, I think I deserve another match." I would do it. You could always have the stipulation where Williams is barred from ringside. I almost see something where they have the rematch and Trick is suspended above the ring in a shark cage. But I don't think we're done with these two yet, even though they did tease something with Pete Dunne, because a little bit later on in the back, Pete Dunne saw Hayes and Williams walking. He congratulated him on his title win and still being the North American champion for now, he said. So teasing a match between Carmelo Hayes and Pete Dunne. But hopefully, even if it's just on TV, we'll get one more match between him and Cameron, because I thought this is an excellent match, and I think these two are capable of even better. As great as this match was, I think they could do even better. Now, as great as I knew that match was going to be, the match that I was looking forward to the most was the match that we got next. And that was the finals of the men's Dusty Classic with MSK, Wesley and Nash Carter, trying to repeat back-to-back years, taking on the Creed brothers, Julius and Brutus. I cannot believe that they gave the finals of the Dusty Cup less than 10 minutes. This match did not even go a full 10 minutes. This was the finals of the tournament. I mean, what is this? The Queen's Crown? That was the most disappointing part of this entire thing, is that it ended so suddenly. When the match was over, when they had the finish, it just felt like it came out of nowhere. It felt like they were really first hitting their stride, and the match was about to kick into that next gear, and then it was over. And so even though they still had a good match, it ended up being very disappointing because I expected more from these two teams. I know these two teams could have a better match than this. And since it was the finals, I just figured, okay, they're saving their best for last. But I think I may have enjoyed the Creed Brothers match on television this past week, last week, more than I did this one, even though this was a good match. Before the match, as the Creed Brothers made their entrance, Diamond Mine comes out. Malcolm Bivens has a small towel, and he holds it up John Cena style, and it says, never give up, right? Because John Cena used to come out with the never give up towel. So it says, never give up. And then he flips the towel around, and it says, nah, you should. Malcolm Bivens is great. Love Malcolm Bivens. Wesley was taunting Brutus, not the barber. And he hit Julius with a tope con hilo. Julius knocked Wesley off the apron early on in the match. Like, body checked him off the apron. And Lee went flying off the apron, and he landed, you know, that sort of flat cover that they have on the announce desk. And he just smashed right into it and rolled right off the announce desk down to the ground. So that was a great-looking bump. Did that right before the picture-in-picture. After the break, Lee got the hot tag to Carter. He hit a snap German on Brutus, hit a senton on Julius as Lee tagged in and delivered a diving corkscrew. The Creeds took over at that point. Brutus took Lee out with a kick. And Julius caught a tope attempt from Carter as he was coming out of the ring. He caught him, and he gave him that cartwheel slam that he does on the floor. It looked like he spiked himself right on his own head in doing so. He rolled him back into the ring, and he hit him with a basement lariat for the win. And so just like that, the Creed Brothers are your 2022 Dusty Cup winners. And with that, they earn an NXT Tag Team title match at Stand and Deliver in April against Imperium. A very good match. Despite my disappointment that this didn't go as long as I feel it could have and should have, they still went out there and they had a very good match. I think it could have benefited from another 5 to 8 minutes or so. Because it just, you know, like I said, just as it really started to feel like it was about to get going, it was over. And it's like, that's it. But Diamond Mine has been one of the few acts that really get my attention when I watch this show. You know, for every Wendy Chu or Tiffany Stratton or Briggs and Jensen or whatever, you know, there's Diamond Mine or there's a Carmelo Hay, or I could probably throw Von Wagner on that list. For every one of them, there's a Creed Brothers. For every one of them, there's a Carmelo Hayes. For every one of them, there's a Bron Breakker. There are a lot of really talented guys and girls on that roster. If only I had the faith in WWE to do right by all of them when they eventually get called up to the main roster. Of course, I don't. Some of them will stick. Some of them will do well. Some of them will be like Bianca Belair or Rhea. Well, it's debatable what they've done with Rhea. But they'll do well by some, but others end up getting screwed over for no good reason at all. Because again, it really is ultimately up to one man. People talk about Bruce Pritchard, and Bruce Pritchard is the one now who's really overseeing everything with NXT. Yeah, so when they put the show together, it goes through him. And so he's not writing the show, but he's really the one sort of in charge of overseeing the whole thing. At the end of the day, though, it's the Vince McMahon show. And whenever these people eventually get called up to Raw or SmackDown, it's Vince McMahon, the 76-year-old man, who's going to be sitting in a room, taking a look at them, watching them, and going, either he gets it or he doesn't. He looks at them and goes, I like it or I don't. And if he doesn't like it, you're fucked. Because God only knows what they'll do. They'll throw some weird mask on you. They'll put you in a fucking hula skirt. They'll give you some terrible nickname. I mean, I don't even want to think of what's going to end up happening to some of these people. And I think that's part of the reason why some people, at least, have tuned out of NXT. They get invested in these characters that they like in some cases, but they have no faith in the follow-up. So while it's all nice that on NXT, and maybe they're getting a push and they're treated well and, you know, you get behind them, it's like following a player in the minor leagues. If you're a really diehard baseball fan, you know, and let's say there's a minor league team, like we have one here in New York, in Brooklyn, right? And if you really follow that, you might even know some of the players in AAA, right? And you're following them and they're doing really well and their batting average is high and they're a great defensive player. And you say, boy, you know, that guy's going to be something one day. I'm going to follow his career to the major leagues. Now imagine if he got called up to the major leagues and fucking Rob Manfred, who's a fucking moron, but Rob Manfred is booking Major League Baseball and he takes one look at this player and he says, I don't like this guy. Let's bench him. Not exactly how baseball works, but imagine if it did. You probably wouldn't bother wasting your time getting invested in any of these young players anymore if they're just going to get called up to the major leagues and get fucked. A lot of people have tuned out of NXT because they throw their hands up and they say, well, what's the point? I like this guy, I like this woman, but they're just going to get screwed over or they're going to change everything about them that I like when they get called up. And it's hard. It's hard for people to really get invested. I mean, look at what they did to Triple H and everything that he did, everything he put together, everything he helped create for them down there. Whether you want to debate if it all worked or not, they tore it all down, virtually all of it. Why bother getting invested? So I am hopeful that some of them will make it through to the other side and will be okay. And they have some can't-miss prospects in NXT. But even with a can't-miss prospect, if anybody can find a way to miss and fuck it up, it's these people. Imperium was in the ring. When they came back, they had thrown to a couple of video packages, including a new female star who's making her debut on the show next week. They come back, and Imperium is in the ring, all three members of Imperium. Walter is standing there, and he's got a microphone. He's being serenaded by Chance of Walter. I love it. He's talking into the mic. My name is not Gunther, it's Gunther, and everyone's chanting Walter. I hope they chant that until the day he retires. I love it. It's like music to my ears. So Fabian Aichner congratulated the Creed brothers. Marcel Bartel said that to be the best, you need to be prepared to endure pain and suffering that you're not ready for just yet. Walter said that he's setting his sights on championship gold in NXT. And he said that he's going to be watching very closely. He's going to be watching tonight's match between Bron Breakker and Santos Escobar very carefully. And with the highest of interest is specifically what he said. So maybe they are going to go with what I originally thought they were going to do. You know, after last week, my mind started wandering and thinking, well, maybe we're going to get like a fatal four-way. You know, it's stand and deliver. They're going to have Bron Breakker putting the NXT championship up. You'll have Tommaso Ciampa. You'll have Dolph Ziggler. You'll have Santos Escobar. Because originally I thought that stand and deliver is, you know, the show they can build to Walter challenging Breakker for the NXT championship. And here he kind of dropped a little hint that that could be the way that they're going. But still too early to tell. You know, we have time. We have just under 2 months, probably about 6 or 7 weeks until stand and deliver. And they could go either way. You know, you could argue it's too soon for Walter. But then again, how long is Walter going to be in NXT for? We don't know. Shouldn't be very long. I mean, they've already gone through the trouble of changing his name. I mean, at that point, you may as well get him ready to go to Raw or SmackDown. Otherwise, why change his name? But maybe there's still a chance he could be getting his title shot in April at Stand and Deliver. Anyway, he was interrupted by Solo Sikoa, another prospect who I forgot to mention before, who's been very impressive on TV. The third Uso, who gets chance of Uso when he comes out. Solo Sikoa comes out. He says, you know, he doesn't really care for this whole "the mad is sacred" stuff that Imperium talks about. He goes, where he's from, they just slap the taste out of people's mouths. And he said that he's about to wipe the mat with the ring general and make him his bitch. There's that word again. They all love the word bitch. Gonna make him his bitch. But then he stepped down from the apron and he thought better of getting inside. So here's this guy who's coming in and saying, you know, where I'm from, we just beat people up and make them our bitch. Apparently, he looked at these three men in the ring and he thought better of it. He thought better of the odds and said, you know what, I'm going to back down today. So that was a little weird. I mean, it made sense because he was outnumbered, but still, if you're going to talk shit, you better be able to back it up. And he backed off. So I thought that was a little strange. Dolph Ziggler was interviewed in the back about Tommaso Ciampa, who he's having a match with next week on NXT. And he said that he'll be watching the title match up next very closely. So not only is Walter watching the match very closely, but so is Dolph Ziggler. He said a bunch of other stuff, but I didn't really give a shit what he was talking about. I was barely paying attention. It was all gibberish. Once he started talking about the NXT Championship match, then I perked up and paid attention. Speaking of which, it was time for the main event. Bron Breakker defending the NXT Championship for the very first time against Santos Escobar. Commercial-free main event here on this show. I'll tell you what, those other matches would have benefited from being commercial-free as well. All those picture-in-picture breaks, I mean, we deal with it every week, you know, on Dynamite and stuff. It's the nature of television. It's unavoidable. But, yeah, I feel like we've been seeing a lot of this picture commercial-free. The first hour of Raw on Sci-Fi the other night was commercial-free. Last night. Hey, Brian Pesaro, one of our Sound of Legends. Member for 11 months. Shout out to Bryant. So there was an early Steiner line in this match from Bron Breakker that looked great. He just walloped him on a simple clothesline. This guy, I mean, he does it with such intensity and such ferocity that a simple clothesline from Bron Breakker looks fucking great. Joaquin Wilde jumped up on the apron. He distracted Breakker. That allowed Escobar to forearm him in the back of the head, knock him out of the ring, and then Escobar hit the ropes. I love it when he does this. He hits the ropes, and he does the tope out onto Breakker. It looked like he went right into his chin, like boom, like a rocket being launched out of the ring. You know, I watch him do that, and his dives have always looked great. I mean, going back to the King Cuerno days on Lucha Underground, he would hit the ropes twice and then just launch himself. And I really think, you know, when I watch WWE, I watch NXT, I watch AEW, I've even started trying to get into, on a weekly basis, New Japan Strong. I've watched the last two episodes. I'm trying to get more into that. So I watch a lot of wrestling, and I would say the two guys, because everybody does dives, right? The dives now, it's like a prerequisite that every wrestler has to do them. It's so sad that we've gotten to this point where everybody feels the need to do this now. There's no, that's why everybody just kind of feels the same in a lot of ways. But the two guys who do it better than anybody else in wrestling right now are Darby Allin and Santos Escobar. Because when they launch themselves, they launch themselves. And it just looks great. So anyway, I always love those missile dives when he hits them. But Escobar went on offense at that point. We got dueling chants of let's go Santos, let's go Breakker. He applied an extended rear chin lock, which was very exciting. He yelled at the champion that this was his time. Breakker then made a comeback, hit a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker. Raul Mendoza climbed up on the apron. Breakker knocked him down. Wilde jumped up on the apron. Breakker deposited him out over the top. He brought him into the ring, and he sent him back out over the top on the other side. So then Electra Lopez gets on the ring apron to distract the referee. While the referee is distracted, who should slide into the ring but Dolph fucking Ziggler? Slides into the ring and delivers a super kick to Bron Breakker. This actually led to a great near fall because he super kicks him, and the crowd was convinced that that was it, and we were going to have a new champion. Escobar crawls over, crawls on top of Bron Breakker, tries to win the title, but Breakker kicked out at 2.5. So that was actually a great near fall. Escobar connected with a tornado DDT, climbed up top, but rolled through when Breaker moved out of the way. He went for the Phantom Driver. Breaker slipped out, and Bron Breakker literally tried to break this man in half. Obliterated him with a spear. You know what this reminded me of? Watching him deliver the spear in the way that he did here. This was an old-school Goldberg-esque spear from, like, 1998 WCW. The way that he used to rip through somebody in the ring with these spears, that's what this reminded me of. And I'm not sure if Breaker, I'm pretty sure Breaker is younger now than, in fact, I'm positive, he's younger now than Goldberg was back then when he was doing his thing. I mean, this looked insanely brutal here, this takedown, this spear. So he breaks him in half with that. Some fans start booing Bron Breakker. We almost have a mixed reaction here in this crowd. You could hear the boos. Now, I know that sometimes it sounds like boos, but they're not really boos because it's the dog-faced gremlin thing, but I think they were booing him. And maybe I'm wrong, but it did sound like actual boos and not just the whole Rick Steiner chant. But there were some boos, and he gorilla presses him up over his head, drops him for the power slam. That's his finish, and he gets the pin. But, man, some of the fans at the PC turning a little bit there, just a little bit, against Bron Breakker. Fickle. Some of these people are quite fickle. These fickle fans. Bron Breakker retains the NXT Championship. Hopefully, this is not the last that we see of Santos Escobar challenging for the NXT Championship. It's been a very long wait for him, and I really don't want to see him, you know, relegated to the back of the line just after one match like that. I mean, so many people get rematch after rematch after rematch. I mean, I'm sure they could get one more match out of these two at least. Or either that or maybe Legato is in line for a call-up soon. I mean, I there's no indication of that. That's not even anything that's been teased. I haven't even heard of them getting dark matches. So I don't think they're going anywhere. But hopefully he doesn't just get relegated to the back of the line. As you talk about underrated talents in this company, and Santos Escobar is pretty high up on that list. He's very, very good. So now we're on to, like I said earlier, next week's show. We've got Dolph Ziggler wrestling against Tommaso Ciampa. We've got LA Knight taking on Grayson Waller. We have the start of the Women's Dusty Cup. All of that coming up next Tuesday. Stand and Deliver is the next big show. That's going to be WrestleMania weekend. In fact, it might be WrestleMania Day. I believe the news is still accurate that the next NXT show is going to be a matinee, the afternoon of night one of WrestleMania. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping that gets changed because, you know, to cover both events like that back to back in one day is too much. Too much. Hopefully they'll move it to that Thursday or Friday before, but it's probably going to be that Saturday. And look, I know takeover is a dirty word now to these people. This would have been a good takeover show. Not a great one. This would have been a good takeover show. I thought it was a very enjoyable 2 hours of pro wrestling. I thought it was a largely, you know, fun show. The matches were good to very good. I just wish some of them would have had a little bit more time, especially that Dusty Classic. I really wish that would have gotten some more time. But again, a very enjoyable 2 hours, I thought, of pro wrestling. So let's go ahead and take a look at the poll. We did get a Twitter poll up, as we do for all these things. And so far, it's kind of surprising. About 58% thumbs up, 42% thumbs down. So a positive score, but not all that positive. It's a little surprising. A little surprising, I will say. I think it deserves better than that. Now, before we get to your super chats, I want to just use this moment here to remind you, all of you channel members, and I see a bunch of you in the chat, I could tell because your names are highlighted in green and you got those cool-ass badges next to your name, like Gyro Splater and Mr. J, I see you. But for all of our channel members, the next edition of Better Call Saul Monster is going to be Thursday night, most likely around 8:30 Eastern. I will keep you posted on that on Twitter. It's for channel members only. We're going to be taking your phone calls. And this has turned out to be quite the busy week in pro wrestling. So this is the perfect week to be doing a call-in show. And again, that's for members only. That'll be coming up on Thursday night. And also, be aware that if you are a Legends tier member, this is just for the top tier members on YouTube. There is a brand new lost episode of the Solomonster Sounds Off that is going to be, and that is Groovy Goose. All our channel members in the chat, throw up those emojis that you guys have access to. You do have access to a bunch of emojis, like the skulls. So go ahead and throw them on up. But all of our Legends tier members, Sound Off episode 13 from Super Bowl Sunday in 2008 is going up tomorrow. And this is an interesting episode because this is the episode that has my live thoughts from being at Madison Square Garden for the Royal Rumble, John Cena's shocking return, Brock Lesnar's debut fight against Frank Mir at UFC 81, my excitement for the New York Mets signing Johan Santana, who eventually went on to throw the very first no-hitter in Mets history, and my Super Bowl prediction for the Giants against the Patriots, the latest on the Spygate scandal that was just breaking at the time with the Patriots. So it's an interesting episode to go back and listen to. An interesting moment in time. So that's episode 13, Legends only. Legends members, that's going up for you guys tomorrow, so keep an eye out for that. Probably late morning, early afternoon. It'll be up in the archives. You can listen to it from way back when. In 2008. All right, let's take a look at your super chats. All right, that's the way that Tony Chimmel used to announce Edge when he would come out to the ring. When he was the Rated R Superstar, he'd call him the Rated R Superstar, like his balls just dropped. Let's read your super chats. Ojali Burgos was the first one to chime in tonight. $5 super chat. He says, have to work, but just wanted to say that I hope Sunny is next. He's referring to Sunny Kiss. I'm sick of her being wasted on YouTube, and I truly believe that she would thrive in NXT 2.0. Wow, look at this. We have Dick the Cock Johnson. Interesting gimmick. We've got Cody. Wasted everyone's time with awful angles for a year and convinced everyone it was a work before leaving. Well, that's one way to finish a heel turn. We've got Rizzo with the $9.99. What's going on, Rizzo? The Cody news was not what I was expecting today. Hope Vince doesn't bury him, but I have little faith in that. Cameron Spencer, the $4.99. Has there ever been a moment in wrestling that angered fans that you thought was funny? Controversial moment I found funny was Rollins, Wyatt, at Hell in a Cell. A moment in wrestling that angered fans that I thought was funny. Well, if you listen to the podcast in the intro every week on the main audio show, you hear this psychotic laugh at the end of the intro. That's me. I had my Joker moment. I know it angered a lot of people, and I couldn't help myself but just laugh. And that was the night on Raw in 2018 when the McMahons and, you know, Triple H was there too, Paul McMahon, when they stood in the middle of the ring and announced that the McMahon family was taking back Monday Night Raw. I never knew they gave it up. But they were going to take back Monday Night Raw and fix the show. And Baron Corbin was the reason why the show was so terrible. And the ratings had plummeted. So that's one moment. The other moment I would mention is WrestleMania 30. When the Undertaker streak was broken, you can see me on camera right before Justin Roberts made the announcement that Brock Lesnar won, that last crowd shot. Look in the lower right corner and you'll see everyone else is shocked or they're upset. Their mouths are agape. And there I am. I have my glasses on. There I am in the corner and I'm laughing. I'm telling you, there's nobody else around me doing that. It was such a stupid decision, I thought, at the time. And I just couldn't help but just laugh at the whole thing. And there were a lot of angry people in the crowd. Trust me. I was in the building that night. There were a lot of really angry people. But all I could do was laugh. So that's the moment I always think of. Dev to Dust, $5 super chat. If Brock Lesnar was to have a match between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels in their prime, which match would be better? Also, WCW 97 or WWF in 2000? Both very enjoyable, but I was always more of a WWF guy, so I would go WWF 2000. I think Brock Lesnar, either the Brock Lesnar of old or the Brock Lesnar of 2022, against Shawn Michaels in his prime would have been a fantastic match. And I think Brock against Bret in his prime. I'm talking like 93, 94 Bret also would have been excellent. I think they would have been equally great. Both those guys worked very well with the bigger, with the guys who were bigger than them, which was a lot of guys. Because Bret and Shawn, you know, back in that era, I would say a good part of the roster was physically bigger than they were. Dev to Dust, what match would be worse? Braun Strowman against Kali, 60-minute Ironman match, or Jinder Mahal against Baron Corbin versus Omos, triple threat Punjabi prison match? I mean, they would both be fucking terrible. I mean, obviously Strowman and Kali would be worse. I mean, 60 minutes of the Great Kali. At least that triple threat could be over quickly. Great Kali in a 60-minute match is the sort of thing that, you know, if somebody commits a heinous, felonious crime, you sentence them, and you sentence them to having to watch the Great Kali in a 60-minute Ironman match. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. Do you think MSK is going to the main roster soon? They've done all they can in NXT. I don't. I don't get that sense at all. Cody Moore. Nice haircut, brother. Thank you, sir. Rodimus Prime, $10 super chat. With the way WWE killed the cruiserweight division, you might as well say 205 Live should have been canceled months ago. I said it a year ago. Where have you been, Rodimus? Rodimus, where have you been? I've been saying this for probably close to a year now. 205 Live was a dead brand, and it was only a matter of time before they ended the show. Groovy Goose, have yourself a good night, my friend. It's good seeing you. Alto Johnson, do you think indie wrestling draw? I assume he means draws. Some indie wrestling draws, yes. Every indie promotion has their own parameters for what draws and what doesn't, you know, based on their the money they spend for talent and whatnot. Some indie wrestling draws and some indie wrestling doesn't. Now, there was an independent show called All In a few years ago that did pretty well. Does it draw the way WWE does when they go to, you know, a big stadium? No, it's two totally different things. But yes, indie wrestling can draw. Some indie wrestling draws, and some indie wrestling definitely does not. Amiibo, NXT 2.0 is trash. They better leave the UK alone. John Falchetta, I fear for Dunn and Ciampa on the main roster. If they screwed Lee and Cross, they'll do worse to them. Creeds win the belts, do Imperium go up soon? I think there's a good chance of it. I think you send all three of them up together. I don't think you send Walter by himself. I don't think you send the other two without Walter. I can't imagine they send the other two without Walter. If the other two get called up, they're going to be called up as a trio. The art of Andre O. Smith. Thank you for all that you do. Well, thank you, Andre. Lakers Pats 1 got into an accident today. I'm okay. Be safe, everyone. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I assume auto accident. Is that what you mean? Or did you fall down the stairs or something? Well, whatever it was, I'm glad to hear you're okay. Alberto Ortiz, are we getting a baseball season or what? I tell you what, brother, it's not looking good. I don't like this. We should be talking about pitchers and catchers reporting and not worrying about all this bullshit. It's not looking good. It's not looking good. I think we do get a season, but I think we're going to miss a good chunk of it. And Alex Jimenez, Solo Monster rocking that fresh cut, I see. I'm going to barber school right now. If you ever end up in Florida, free cut on me. I can't wait. I'm going to get that undercut where the hair comes over. I've thought about that. Well, if I am ever back in Florida, I might take you up on that. But thank you, Alex. KC, I see KC the most in the chat. He says, I see a dead career for these guys on Raw or Whackdown. I assume that was not a spelling error. Chris, I agree. Rob Manfraud. I'm going to start calling him that. Manfraud. I like that. Mr. Manfraud. Yeah, the lockout, it's just bullshit. There's too much money, I think, for them to just end up, you know, canceling the entire season. But as far as when it actually begins, it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while. Hey, Ted Evans, he's been a channel member for 5 months. He says, what's an all-time overrated and underrated theme song for you? Underrated for me is the Rocks Nation theme. You know what I think? I don't even know if it's really underrated because I get the sense most people actually have warmed up to it. I will say that when MJF started coming out to his current theme song, I wasn't really impressed. It's got that like MIDI, you know, sound to it. I really warmed to it, and that music is perfect for him. I mean, it is the perfect, just douchiest music that you could possibly come up with for him. Again, whether or not you would consider that to be, you know, underrated or not. Overrated? I don't know about overrated. You know, a lot of the really great wrestling theme songs are, I'm in agreement with a lot of it. I don't know offhand what an overrated one would be. You start throwing some names out at me, and you might ring a bell. Oh, you might ring a bell like Stringer Bell. Cameron Spencer, your thought on Spider-Man No Way Home. I haven't seen it. Andrew Jorlog with the 20 spot here. Assuming Cody goes to WWE, who is his first feud? Yeah, we'll get into the Cody stuff tomorrow night, I'm sure. And then obviously Sunday, we'll unpack all of it. And I'm sure by the weekend show, we're going to have more details. There's still details streaming in. I will say this, though. Everyone, they have a right to not be convinced that this is not a work. Because at first, I wasn't sure what to make of this. As more details have come out, though, I don't believe it's a work. It's not a work. It's a very real situation. I'm actually very surprised that things have played out the way that they have. But I will say there's two words I will leave you with on this. Money talks. Money talks. And when you are talking about people who are, I'm sure, already making millions and already making very good money, and you say, well, they already make good money. Why should it be about the money? It's a business. It's a business. It's almost always about the money. Money talks. And when one makes good money, contracts come due, you can never make too much. At the end of the day, it always boils down to money. And he and Brandy have a baby girl now. Their priorities have changed. People change. They mature. They get older. They get closer to the end of their career than they are to the beginning of it. I'm sure he was making very good money in AEW, but it's all about the money at the end of the day. That's what it boils down to. Ted DiBiase, right. Ted DiBiase had it right. Everybody's got a price. Tony Khan could not match his price. Maybe he felt slighted. I'm sure we're going to get more details that come out in the days ahead. We're not done yet. There's going to be more information tomorrow and Thursday and so on and so forth that comes out about this Cody situation. So by the end of the week, I think we're going to have a much better picture of what happened here. I would say right now, if you were betting, I don't bet, but I think it's pretty likely that Cody is going to have himself a WrestleMania match this year. Who against? Take your pick. Could be Seth Rollins. What's Rollins going to be doing, right? Rollins was supposed to wrestle Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon was removed from the WrestleMania card. As far as anybody knows, he's got no opponent. All the people, though, I will say, throwing out Triple H's name. Triple H ain't wrestling a WrestleMania. I don't believe Triple H is wrestling a WrestleMania ever again. But he definitely is not wrestling this year. So you can cross that off your list. Ojali Burgos with the $2, there's the X-Pac Rules super chat. Thoughts on Amari? I can see her as a future champion. I haven't seen enough of her to say that, but what I've seen of her so far has been pretty impressive. I just haven't seen enough of her matches to say one way or the other. Same thing with Ivy Nile. What I've seen from someone like Ivy Nile, I'm impressed. But I can't sit here. I can only sing her praises so much because I still haven't seen that many Ivy Nile matches. So I need to see more of Amari Miller, and maybe we'll get to see her, you know, in this Dusty Cup. Whoever her partner ends up being, I'm sure she'll be in the tournament. But what I've seen so far is good. I just need to see her body of work a little bit more. So let's shift on over to one of your favorite segments. Let's do a little Be the Booker here, shall we?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
It is Be the Booker time here on the NXT Vengeance Day stream. Do a little Be the Booker action here. And for those who don't know, I have updated the men's and the women's. And we debuted the new men's one, the new look for Be the Booker. Looks a little more professional, a little nicer, a little more colorful. Put a lot of work, a lot of hours into this. And I do think that in the next few weeks, what we're going to do, and it was an idea pitched by one of you, in fact. I think what we're going to do in these next few weeks, we're going to have ourselves a little Be the Booker tournament, our own little version of March Madness. And as we begin to do them, we'll probably have one for the men and one for the women, or not. Maybe we'll just have one big tournament. But we'll have the matches that we book here on the streams, and we'll end up, I'll put a tournament bracket together. And then the voting will commence, and we'll build to what you guys think was the best match that I booked out of all of them. So it'll be fun. So I'll probably get going on that in the next few weeks. But anyway, we will begin with the men. So let's kick things off with the men's Be the Booker. There it is. We're going to take this thing for a spin. See what news are you talking? Keith in the chat says breaking news here. I don't know what breaking news he's talking about, but let's see here. Our first pick in Be the Booker is Dude Love. Look at Dude Love with the ladies. I could be wrong. I think that woman on the left might be his wife. Can't really tell. I think it is, but I could be wrong. But we've got Dude Love is our first pick. And let's see who Dude Love is going to be wrestling in the main event of our show. Again, we're booking main events here. That's what this is. We're trying to book the best main event possible. It could be a main event of WrestleMania. It could be the main event on Monday Night Raw. Dude Love one-on-one with Jerry the King Lawler. I'm not a fan of that match. I'm not. I mean, really, as soon as it landed on Dude Love, I really wasn't a fan of this match. I don't know. Dude Love against Jerry Lawler, that's a hard pass for me. That's a hard pass for me. Ted Evans says that was Dude Love's wife. That was Mick Foley's wife. I thought so. I knew she had appeared with him as one of the ladies in some of those segments. I wasn't entirely sure if that was her or not. You can see the king here in this image showing a little bit of that man boob there on the left side. A very beautiful image there. Anyway. So that was the men's match. I call that a fail. But let's switch over to the ladies. There they are. Hey, Naif Alsafar, thank you for the $4.99 super chat. We're about to pick our women's main event here, the very first new and improved women's Be the Booker. And the first woman that we pick is Indy Hartwell. Great timing. Indy Hartwell on tonight's NXT Vengeance Day show. She and Persia Parada losing to Toxic Attraction. So there she is. Indy Hartwell. Going to go one-on-one here in the main event. Taking on Kelly Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
You had to know that was coming. You had to know that was coming. So a double fail here tonight on Be the Booker. Indy Hartwell against Kelly Kelly. That is no bueno. That is no bueno. No bueno, no bueno, no bueno. Unfortunately, you win some, you lose some. Tonight was a double loser. But what are you going to do? Thankfully, I haven't started our tournament yet. So those matches now, they go away. That's right, Casey. That don't work for me, brother. But as you saw, there are lots of new options. Lots of new options in Be the Booker for the ladies. And so we're going to have some fun with it in the weeks ahead. We've got Juan Ocampo. Did Brock bury the young stars on Pat's show? What? You know what? I actually think there's definitely some truth in what Brock Lesnar had to say. But the big caveat there, of course, is that not everybody is Brock Lesnar, and not everybody came up in the era that Brock Lesnar came up in WWE. So while there is some truth in what he said, obviously there's a huge asterisk, and I'm going to talk more about that on the podcast on Sunday as well. I'm going to be probably in rare form on Sunday for 7:44. Plus, we got all the fallout from Elimination Chamber because I'm going to be live on Saturday, big pay-per-view on Saturday in Saudi Arabia. So it's going to be a big show on Sunday. I got to save some of this for the podcast. Lucas, Cody returns to AEW in 2022 after budget cuts. Boy, can you imagine Cody? Cody and Brandy end up on the cut list. Now, the Cody story obviously is still the talk of the wrestling world. It was not anything that I was expecting. You know what the most shocking part of it is? Is that all that talk, you know, you look back on it now, the Royal Rumble was only 2 weeks ago, right? 2.5 weeks ago. And all that talk about how ridiculous the notion was that Cody Rhodes would be in the Royal Rumble. And even I said, that's fucking ridiculous. Cody is not going to be in the Royal Rumble. And he wasn't. Even though he was not under contract at the time. He was working on a handshake deal with Tony Khan. So he technically could have been in the Royal Rumble. But I said it's ridiculous. Cody Rhodes is not going to be in the Royal Rumble. And 2 weeks later, it looks like Cody Rhodes may be on his way to WWE. So we weren't that far off from the Royal Rumble. If this had gone down a few weeks earlier, Cody Rhodes very well would have been in the Royal Rumble. And it is insane to think about the first major defection, you know, or it looks like what will very likely end up being the first major defection from AEW to WWE, which was always an inevitability. It was always going to happen at some point. You know, it wasn't always going to be a one-way street where everybody was going from WWE to AEW. At some point, somebody was going to go from AEW to WWE. I never thought it would be Cody Rhodes. I never thought it would be one of the EVPs of the company. I thought there was a better chance even Jericho would be the one, but not Cody Rhodes. So that was what was so surprising. But, you know, Cody has made comments in recent months about doing something this year with his character that's going to be so unlike anything we've ever seen, and people aren't going to be expecting it. That's why at first when this news broke, I posted that quote on my Twitter from him, and I said, I don't know what to make of this. I don't know what to make of any of this. And now, as some more details have come out about the business end of it, it becomes clear what I said before. At the end of the day, it's a business to these people. They're in it to make money. And if someone isn't being paid what they think they're worth, or they feel like they're being undervalued, they feel slighted in some way, then they're going to go get that bag somewhere else. And it's looking increasingly likely that's really ultimately what it boils down to here with Cody. Yeah, you know, there was going to be a second season of Rose to the Top. That's out the window now. That second season of Rose to the Top is canceled. You know, he's on that other show, Go Big Show. I don't know what'll be with that. He's one judge of several. They could just replace him on the show. But, you know, he's giving up some stuff by leaving. So it's a very shocking development today. And there will be more information. No, I don't think Stardust is coming back. But it's been a while since there has been a truly shocking story in wrestling that has surprised me to this degree. And had me, when it initially broke, not being able to make heads or tails out of whether or not this is legit, if is it a work, is it not. It's been some time. I don't even know what that last story would have been. This was not something that I was expecting to hear about, to see those statements put out by Cody and Brandy and Tony Khan announcing that Cody is gone. It's shocking. It really is. It's exciting in some ways because, you know, there's a lot of things now that are up in the air. It's so close to WrestleMania season. I believe he will have a WrestleMania match this year. I mean, if he's in talks with WWE and he's close to a possible deal, you know, WWE is looking for all the attractions they can find for two nights of WrestleMania to fill up Texas Stadium and try to put at least 50,000 people in the building on both nights. There's talk of Stone Cold. There's talk of Johnny Knoxville, right? They're all, if they get Cody, he's going to be a WrestleMania. Then you start getting into the questions of against who and what is he going to be doing and when do you bring him back and when does he debut on TV? We'll get into all of that. Maybe tomorrow or on the podcast on Sunday, more details will come out. We'll get into all of that. I've got some other thoughts on this as well, but we'll leave it at that for now. C. Moonsault, Mr. Solo Bobster, do you think Turtle Stone Cold Steve Austin will return to WrestleMania to wrestle Cody Rhodes? No. No. Jeffrey says this is really bad for AEW. It's not, but it could be. And I made this point on Twitter. I'll make this last point for now about the Cody thing. I made this point hours ago on Twitter. If WWE were really smart about this, even if they don't have any grand plans for Cody, they just want to sign him because it's just going to look good that they got one of their guys, right? So we'll just, what does he want? What does he want? All right, give it to him. Give it to him, right? Despite all the budget cuts. Boy, is that going to look like bullshit if they end up throwing a bunch of money at this guy. But let's just make sure we get him, right? Because it changes the narrative at that point. Now, all of a sudden, the tide has turned and it's swinging in the other direction where it's not just people going from here to here. They're going from there back here or they're coming from there to here. So if they were smart, if I'm a WWE person and we get Cody Rhodes, I treat him like gold. I treat him like gold. I treat him like the wrestling royalty that he thinks he is. Because the better he gets treated and the better he gets booked, and people watch Cody Rhodes doing things on television, having a good run in WWE and not being buried and not being mocked, and he's slotted at a high level, right? Yes, he's Cody Rhodes. It's very different than fucking Daniel Garcia or Lee Moriarty because Cody has the Rhodes name and he used to be in WWE. He's still an AEW guy. And if other AEW guys look at that and go, okay, Cody went there and he's making more money that Tony Khan wouldn't give him and they've treated him pretty well. Maybe there is hope for me. Maybe all this talk about the big bad Fed and everybody goes there and gets buried or everybody goes there and gets misused or I'm just going to go there and end up, you know, in the low mid card doing 24/7 stunt chases. Maybe it's not so bad. You know, and I would never have considered going there before, but maybe now I will in a year when my contract is up. Maybe I will, you know, strike up a conversation with WWE. You know, at the end of his contract, maybe somebody like MJF or Wardlow who says he's an AEW lifer. Well, he says that, but that's where I think if WWE were really smart about this, regardless of what they think of Cody, if they resent him for being one of the founding fathers of this annoying wrestling company that's been challenging them. Treat this guy like gold, book him strongly because you want to play the long game here. You want to play the long game here. Contracts are going to come due. Other people are going to want to know if WWE is open for business, should I go there? You know there's people in AEW that they want. I mean, they'd be insane to not want MJF when his contract is up. I mean, if Cody Rhodes leaves, well, all of a sudden, who's to say that someone like MJF doesn't leave when his contract comes due? Who knows what he'll be doing in 2 years, in a year and a half? That's where I think this could end up being, you know, not a fatal blow, but it could end up being a negative for AEW. And WWE, if they were smart, could twist this into a positive. Turn things in the other direction. Turn the perception of things on its head. And all of a sudden, people start coming over to them. They seem more desirable. Even though there's no reason to think that they really are. We've heard enough horror stories, and we've seen with our own eyes how they treat a lot of the talent on television. I have very little faith that a lot of those people who come over would be treated better. But I'm saying, if you're in WWE, it's a strategic move. You gotta be smart about this. Use Cody as like a pawn to shift the momentum the other way. Rizzo, damn it, Solo, you stole my thunder about treating Cody like gold. Oh, well, here's another $10. Hey, I tweeted this earlier. I'm just reiterating what I already said on Twitter earlier today. It's a strategic move that I think would be very wise on their part, regardless of what their true feelings are about Cody Rhodes. Lakers, Pats, it's a work, brother. HH. And it was a car accident. Okay. I hope the car wasn't totaled. But the most important thing is that you're okay. Nick Grosso, now we know why Cody dropped the TNT title to Sammy so fast. I wasn't sure why they put it back on him in the first place. But yes, now we know why the title had to come off him as quickly as it did. Cody against Balor. I'd be offended if I were Cody. The way Balor's been booked, I'm not even sure Balor will be at WrestleMania. All right, we could be here all night talking about Cody, but I want to save more of that for later on. One last time, this is the poll from tonight's show. 57% thumbs up, 42% thumbs down. I said before, surprising. It is surprising to me. I would have expected a little bit better here, but I thought it was a very good show overall. Again, if you compare it to the level of like the old takeovers and stuff, it's not the same. But and part of it is the setting, because we're always in that small building now when they do these shows. They don't go out to any bigger. I mean, they will for Stand and Deliver, I guess. They'll be in Dallas, although that doesn't mean they have to run a big building. They could do a small building in Dallas that weekend. So that's part of it. But I thought on the whole it was a very good show, and we move ahead to Stand and Deliver, and we'll see what they do with the NXT Championship at that point. I'm going to be live with you again tomorrow night. You're getting me for the next few nights, actually. You got me tonight. I'm going to be back with you for Dynamite tomorrow, and perhaps we'll have more information on the Cody situation at that point. Thursday night, members only. Call-in show. Get those calls ready. I'll take as many of them as I can. And if I don't get to everybody, we'll do more call-in shows in the future. Friday night, I will probably be live for SmackDown to Rampage. That's not 100%. I might take that night off. We got a taped Rampage and a taped SmackDown where not much happened. So I don't know. We'll see about Friday night. But Saturday, as soon as the Elimination Chamber is off the air, come on back. I'm going to be live on YouTube recapping the entire thing. And obviously a very big episode of 744. Episode 744 Sunday, we're going to have a lot to talk about, including the Brock Lesnar interview on Pat McAfee's show. I watched the whole thing, nearly an hour of it. It was great. Fantastic interview. And I've got some thoughts on that as well. We'll save that for Sunday. And watch for Retro Episode 13, all you Legends members. It's going to be hitting your subscription feeds tomorrow. Some classic stuff there back from Super Bowl Sunday in 2008. So until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great night, and I will see you back here for the Dynamite recap tomorrow night. Take care, guys.